Hey, what's up? It's Cole, Janine's producer on the podcast. Welcome to the Janine Hernandez Experience. It's time to get inspired, step into your purpose, and create a life worth living. Enjoy the show.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Janine Hernandez Experience podcast. As you know, our podcast is series-based, and this series, we are talking with all of the authors from the Book Publishing Academy. And today, I am so excited because I have one of my dear friends and author. Her name is Sippy Waterman, and she is writing a children's book. I thought it was an amazing opportunity to get her on here so she can talk a little bit about herself, her journey, and her book. So thank you so much for joining us, Sippy.
Thank you for having me, Janine. It's truly an honor to be here with you and the listeners.
Yes. And so actually her name is Sippora, but we call her Sippy.
Yes.
Sippy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am an upcoming published author, thanks to you, Janine. I am also a wife to a wonderful husband. His name is Philip. And we are expecting our first child in May of 2021. Love so it. It's also a journey, just like the book. It's my other baby that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And I am currently a real estate agent here in South Florida, in Miami, Florida. I am also a tennis coach. And sometimes on the side, I dabble a little bit with health insurance and life insurance for those who need it.
Girl, you are busy. You have a lot on your plate.
No, speaking of busy, you are the busy one, but you have many plates that you are able to juggle. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know how I do it. But you know what's so interesting to me? To give you guys a little background, I actually met Sippy about 6 years ago, I would say. And we became really, really good friends. We met in Miami. I ended up moving to Arizona. So we've been friends kind of long distance. But what's really cool about Sippy is that she, like she mentioned, she's a tennis coach. And I've never in my life met a tennis coach. So I want you to tell the listeners a little bit more about that. Like, how did this come up? How did you get started in tennis? What motivated you to do tennis, etc.?
Absolutely. So I was not born in the United States. I was born in the Netherlands. My father, his name is Isaac. He is Dutch from the Netherlands. And my mom is Jula. She is from Israel. And after about 3 years after I was born, my parents migrated to Israel. And my dad opened up a nonprofit tennis academy for unprivileged kids instead of playing on the streets or doing things that, you know, no parents would like their kids to do. He opened up this tennis academy and he allowed kids to just come there and play. And as I got older, he would take me with him there and I started playing against the wall. And his friends and the other coaches noticed that I had an eye for it. And they told him, you know, Isaac, you should really give her some lessons. So I remember my first tennis lesson was between 4 or 5 year old with my dad. And I started training with him. And by the time I was old enough to talk back and say no, or I don't like this, or whatever, you know, us kids tell our parents, he decided to cut ties as a tennis coach and keep the ties as a father and put me in an actual tennis academy because the relationship of a father-daughter was more important than a coach-to-daughter type of thing for him. And that was the best decision he could have made, in my opinion. You know, there are plenty of parents who are coaches as well, but it's a very, very, very gray area that is very hard to turn on and off when you're a parent. And I started playing tennis for the Israeli Tennis Academy. I was very good at a very young age. And at the age of 14, Dutch Tennis Academy asked if I would move back to the Netherlands to represent the Netherlands in tennis. So we moved back to the Netherlands to play tennis. And one summer, one of my sponsors decided to say we have to see what's out there, and what's out there meant the United States. And we came for one summer. when I was 15, we came here to South Florida, and I received a full scholarship to move to the United States with this very, very popular tennis academy that started the Williams sister. It's called Rick Macy Tennis Academy. And I moved here first, and my parents moved about 3-4 months after me, and this is where I've been since. So I played tennis in South Florida since I was 16, and I also was fortunate enough to play professional. I was very successful. Well, you know, very, in quote, air quotes. I was pretty successful in my double career. Singles was a little bit hard. And unfortunately, I got injured. And plan Z was to go to college. And again, I was very blessed to have this talent of a sport. I got a full scholarship to play tennis for Nova Southeastern University. I got my degrees there. And after I was done with college, a lot of my old coaches asked if I would be willing to coach in their academy to be an inspiration for the younger generation. And I absolutely loved it. And I did that for 15, even longer. I still do it now, but privately. But as I got older, you know, things change, dream change. And yeah, so tennis will always be part of me. I even have a tattoo on my wrist of a tennis racket. So it's once you're a tennis player, you're always a tennis player. And yeah, that's how we started.
Oh my God. I love this story so much, just because you found something that you were good at when you were younger, you stayed with it, and your parents were supportive of you. They did everything they could to support you. And then look at everything that you were able to accomplish. And I think it's amazing that you were able to not only play for academies, but you were able to get full scholarships, move to the United States, like do some amazing things, have a scholarship for college. Like, that's just, it's a wonderful story. I love hearing it.
Yeah, it's I when I hear of younger girls that move here from different countries to pursue their dreams of becoming a tennis player, I really try to let them know that for me, college was plan Z. Don't make it your plan Z, because it was the greatest experience I ever had. You know, just make it a plan. If professional tennis doesn't work, don't worry. You have a talent that many other people don't have. You are able to get an education with that talent. Don't waste it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. And can you share a little bit more? So like right now you do private coaching. What does that look like for the kids that you're coaching? Do you coach both boys and girls? And how is it to be, I guess you're more than just a coach. You're like a mentor to these kids, right?
Right, right. So I start them as young as 4. I say 4, but usually they come around 5, because it's the age where they can still focus on just one thing. You know, 4 and 3 is a little bit young. They see a butterfly and they're like, oh, butterfly, you know, forget tennis. So I start them as young as 4.5, 5. And my oldest client is 82. And I do both girls, boys, men, women. I do group lessons as well. And I have a family who I've been with since their kids were 6, 8, and 12. And now the 6 and the 8 are almost graduating high school. And the 12-year-old, she is on her second year of college. So wow. I have some clients who became almost like family. And where I live, I have tennis courts in my building. So I have a lot of neighbors who constantly come for me for tennis lessons, and I play with them. So yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
Wow, that is so awesome. I love it. I love your story. I love the whole process that you went through to get to where you are. And I love how, even though you had an injury, it didn't stop you. Like, you still are somehow involved in it. And for me at least, I don't know, I look at that and I'm like, that's just as an entrepreneur, I think that that's just being innovative. You find right. or you have a challenge and you like go around it. You're like, I'm not gonna allow that to like stop me, you know. So even if I hope the people that are listening understand that you don't have to, like you said, you don't need a plan B, you just need a plan.
Right.
And if something gets in your way or something is trying to block you from that, there's always something that you can still do.
Right.
And similar to me, like I'm an author, but I coach people. Like I know that that's not my end all be all, but I'm still involved in it somehow. So I'm coaching people and teaching them how to write books. It's totally similar and I love it. I love your story.
Thank you. And I think that being a coach of whatever type of field you might be is truly a gift, because I know you know that, because people really, they pour their heart to you. And sometimes it has nothing to do with what you're coaching them, but it's mm-hmm. about something completely different. But the fact that they feel comfortable enough to share other parts of their life, that's truly a gift to me. And that's something that I honestly cherish. And moments that are tough and, you know, with little kids, sometimes it's difficult. And with older clients, they also cancel on you if it's too hot or if it's too windy or if it's too this or if it's too that. But then I remember what I get out of it, and it's more than just money, because money comes, mm-hmm. money goes, and the whole aspect of creating that relationship, that's something that you carry with you in your memories forever.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. I love it. And so you also mentioned that you're a realtor. Tell us a little bit about that. How did you get into the realtor world?
So as I mentioned, my husband, my wonderful husband, I hope he will listen to this once it's done, because he's very busy. He's even more busy than me. he is a broker. He owns his own brokerage. The name of our company is Influencers Realty Group. Mm-hmm. We are based in Aventura, Florida, but we service all of South Florida, all the way from north to south, just in case anyone is looking for a house. And during the pandemic, not only with your help did I finish my book, but I was also able to study for my real estate exam and pass it and get my license as a licensed realtor here in Florida. So that was really my motivation. He was my motivation. We thought, why not keep it in-house? Instead mm-hmm. of him hiring or paying another agent, why not keep it in-house? You know, all the expenses come from this house and all the income will come back into this house. So that was the main motivation, almost like a power couple kind of a thing. Although he has other agents, but it would only be right to become an agent. Yes.
So I just finished reading this book. It's called The Book About Flipping Homes or Houses or something like that.
Ooh.
So I love to read, but I've really been interested lately in saving for investment properties. My goal is to buy a couple more properties here in the future and be able to invest and flip my money, etc. And the book that I read, I don't remember the author's name, but he said that himself. He said that he was a realtor, and then his wife became a realtor as well, because he's like, it only makes sense
right.
to keep it in-house.
Correct.
And then he was also mentioning, because they do house flipping, so he's like, when you're closing on the property, why would I go hire another realtor to do the transaction for me when I could just have my wife do it?
100%.
And then he's like, more expenses that you can write off. So it was just, to me, it makes sense. And me personally, like, in Miami, at one point, I did think about becoming a realtor. I bought the book and I was going to go through with the real estate license, but I never did it. However, now that I read that book and I know my vision for the future and how much bigger I want to have my business, I think that I eventually will get my license, not because it's a passion of mine, but just because
you will save.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
It only makes sense.
Absolutely. I think that having real estate as assets is one of the strongest currency you will have, because people will always need a place to live. The market may crash and rentals may go up or down, but it won't change the fact that people will need a roof over their head.
So true. And actually, Robert Kiyosaki says that as well. He says that the real estate industry is where it's at.
Right.
So yeah, that's something that I'm interested in. We'll see what happens in the next few years.
Well,
maybe I'll be right there with you guys.
I mean, if you come down to Florida, you gotta let us know.
I will. So let's talk a little bit about your book. So Sippy is writing, or she actually wrote a children's book. So tell us a little bit about your book, what it's about, what's the title, etc.
My book name is going to be It's a Super Day. And when you think of it as a super day, you will not know what the book is really about until you see the cover and you start reading it. The book is a personal story that happened to me as a young girl. It was around the age of 11. It was when every girl becomes a woman, I would say. And it was the first time I got my cycle, my period. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was happening. I was playing tennis, just as I explained before. I was on the tennis court having my regular practice. And I went to take a water break like I always do. And one of the ladies who works at the office called me aside and told me I should go to the bathroom. And I didn't know why she told me that. As an 11-year-old, you have no clue, especially since the person that was walking with me to get my water break was a boy. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the bathroom. And in the bathroom is when I saw that I got my period. And I mm-hmm. had no clue what that was. And I didn't know where all this blood came from. So I stuck a bunch of toilet paper in my underwear and pulled up my spandex and my tennis skirt and walked back to the tennis court like nothing just happened.
Yep, like nothing.
Yep, like nothing happened. Blood, I don't know what blood is. Period, I don't even know what period is. I walked straight back with my friend. We went back to the water fountain, filled up our water bottles and walked back. Once I got back to the tennis court, my dad, I guess, already spoke to the lady. And he called me over and he said that we're going to leave practice early. And to me, that was like, what? How dare you take me away from my tennis court? This is my life. And I didn't know why he said that. And he said that he has something very special planned for us. And the coach already knows and not to worry about. And I got in the car. And my dad already put a towel on my seat. And I thought it was because I'm sweaty, but I never have a towel on my seat. But again, I have no clue what's going on.
You were so naive.
Yep. And he is very happy and very excited. And he called my mom. And my mom was telling me how she has a very special supper prepared for us. And she's so excited to see us. And okay, I don't mind because I'm also excited. You're excited. I'm excited. I'm an only child. So any kind of surprises is always revolves around gifts. So I didn't mind any type of surprises from my parents. Mm-hmm. And I came home and my mom took me immediately to the shower. And I even made a joke about maybe I smell bad or something like that. And she had my underwear prepared. It was a brand new pair of underwear. Everything was laid out. So I really thought that something amazing happened. Did my parents win the lottery? What happened? I didn't know what was happening. And when I came out the shower, I had a cake presented in front of me. And my dad came back from the store with balloons and with a gift bag. And they sat me down and my mom told me how I have been deflowered, whatever that meant. I didn't know what that meant either. And my dad and my mom were just, you know, congratulating me to becoming a woman. And my mom was explaining to me how I now have to really pay attention to my hygiene to make sure that I always clean it down there, and whatever type of ritual each, you know, culture has for themselves. She was telling me her way of doing things. And then my dad presented me with the reason why we call my book It Was a Super Day, my gift. I got the gift, a bunch of tissue paper. I take out the tissue paper, and here it is, pads, super pads. And I look at them. I don't know what they are. And my mom looks at my father, and she goes, Isaac, super? And he looks at her, and he says, yes, our daughter is super. She deserves the best, the best. She is super. And my mom hysterically started laughing. She was crying laughing. And aww. I don't know what's going on. And she's trying to mumble how super means that it's the largest, largest size. Not that it's the best one. It's just the largest one. And it was such an amazing experience. And I shared that experience with almost every single one of my friends. And nobody had something like that. Some of them were too scared to tell their parents. Some of them had to tell their grandparents or their aunties. Some of them were only allowed to speak to the mothers about, but no one had an experience where they were congratulated into the new chapter in life. And that really touched me throughout my whole life growing up. And I noticed that my parents were very different with other things too, when it came to sex, when it came to boys, when it came to cigarettes or drugs or alcohol. My parents were always very open, and they wanted to speak the truth and knowledge to me instead of rebuking me or telling me it's the devil's work kind of a thing. And when I got older, and I would hear my friends tell me about their sisters or anyone else, I still couldn't understand how getting your period was such a taboo or something that you wouldn't really talk about. While when we turn on our TVs, we see tons of commercials for women hygiene, you know, tampons, pads, and all that stuff. But it was still not something that parents or grandparents or caretaker in general felt very comfortable. And every year I would tell myself, I'm going to write a book one day. I'm going to write a book one day. I'm going to write a book one day. Well, I am 35, and that day never happened until this job that I had. And I told my coworker about this book idea that I've always had in my mind. And the girl I was working with, her name is Olga, she had tears in her eyes because she has a girl. And she told me, if you write this book, I promise you, I will buy it. And every other person that I know will buy it. It is such a wonderful story. And whether people will learn from it, it will make them get closer. Whether you are a mom and a dad, or a grandma, or a grandpa, or a coach, or whatever you might be, it's the fact that you are willing to start a conversation, that it's okay to have this type of conversation. And I really took that personally, and I prayed about it, and I said, you know, something is going to happen where I'm going to receive a sign that I can write this book. Well, how do you write a book? You know, how do you write a book? What, you just take a pen or in your Word document, you write a book? No, I have no clue how to write a book. So just like every other year, it just went back in the back of my mind. And, you know, oh, whenever it will happen, it will happen. Well, fast forward to just 6 or 7 months ago, you happened, Janine. You were my answered prayer.
Oh,
yes. You know, we were shut down. The whole world is shut down. All we can do is just watch each other on Instagram and on Facebook and on TV and whatnot. And we have been friends forever, like we've mentioned. And sometimes you just don't see what's in front of you. And you were in front of me at that moment. And I saw and I've known what you have done, and I've known what you can do and will do. And it just, God spoke to me at that moment and said, pick up the phone, text Janine, and see how she can help you make this book happen. And here we are on your podcast. Look at that.
I love it. I love your book, your story. And I can definitely relate to your coworker because I didn't really have that either. I didn't have that special experience or moment with my parents. It was, like you said, it was a taboo. It was like weird to talk about it. It's still weird to talk about it, even though I'm 33. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And your story is so inspirational. And I know, like, I just think back to myself when I was about 12 years old. I would have loved to have someone that would have celebrated me in that way. And your story is so beautiful. And so it is, it's considered like a children's book, kind of. It's going to have illustrations. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. So once you and I started the process, the writing part was the easiest part for me because this has been my personal story. So for me to put it into words wasn't hard. What was hard was the editing part. But thankfully, you had people to do that. You were, you know, you were holding my hand throughout the whole process of writing and editing it. But the hardest part for me after that was, who is able to bring me as a young girl to life in a book? So I went through my share of people that I sent them my book idea to create a character for me. And I found this amazing illustrator that's based out of United States, because many of them are not based out of the U.S. I found her. She's based out of here. I don't remember if she was from Minnesota or New York, but somewhere out there. And she sent me the proof of what the character is like, which is me back when I was 11 and 12. And I was completely in awe. I knew that she was the one. From the shoes on my feet to the curls in my hair, I knew she was the one to create the illustration and bring my story to life in those pages. I'm very girly. Like, I love the pink and the purple and the sparkle. So I had to remind myself, and you were the one who helped me remember that this is not a children's book. It's like children, almost teen. So I had to recreate the whole idea in my mind of what I want the illustration to look like. Like, it cannot be too bubbly. It has to be a little bit of a grown child like illustration. Mm-hmm. And the illustrator that I found was able to bring that 100% to life. And where I am standing with her now is that I have to get that part done. So once we have that part done, it goes into the final stage, and the final stage is printing and the ebook version of it. But this is right now where I am, and receiving the news of being pregnant, and because of how busy the market in real estate is right now, it has been, you know, I'll be honest, and that's why I love speaking with you on this podcast and not pretending like everything is great and wonderful, because I want people to relate. This has been my biggest holdback, you know, being busy with a regular job, trying to, you know, make money to be able to support this dream of mine, which is the book, mm-hmm. you know. And you have helped me a lot with the different resources. Even just the other day, you texted me about another resource of funding authors and things like that. And I think if you weren't so on top of me with, don't forget, yes, you have the book done, but you don't have the book done. Don't forget, don't mm-hmm. forget, don't forget, Sippy, you know, you're not there yet. That constantly gives me the confidence to keep going and not just stop, you know. So my progress may not be as fast as I originally wanted it to be, but I know that slow is better than no progress at all.
Yep, You are so right. And I, you know, if you're listening, guys, I'm one of those coaches that I don't care if I'm freaking annoying. I will text almost all of my clients every single Friday and I'll say, hey, how are you doing? And I know Sephora had told me that she's on a standstill right now because she's looking for the funds to do the illustrations. But I still will text her and I'll say, hey, yep. Even though I get the same answer every time, yep. I will still text to find out how you're doing. Let me remind you, you know, we're still working on the book. And for me, it's so important because I started writing my first book when I was about 9 years old, and it took me 17 years to publish it.
Wow.
And that's like my biggest fear for anyone is for them to wait 17 years wow. to publish. And sometimes I'm like, I wish I had somebody that would have just pushed me and told me to do it. So that's why I will continue to stand happy, girl.
Well, I appreciate it because when the pandemic happened and the call from God came to reach out to you, I knew that I was going to do things very fast. And you know, we did it very fast. You know, the first stages of the book, we did very fast. And then life started going semi back to, I don't want to say normal because nothing is normal right now, but just work-wise, things started happening again. So the book went back on the back burner. And for anyone who is listening, Janine will never put you on the back burner. She doesn't care. She will text you. She will call you. She will DM you. She will find you, guys. She will find you. But you know what? That's exactly what each and one of us who hires your services needs. Because if we didn't need it, we wouldn't be here right now. We would have already done it or not done it. But the fact that we made that decision to seek your assistance and your help and guidance means that as much as sometimes we don't want to open that text message from you, we know that this is what we signed up for. So although I wanted this book to have been published originally this month in honor of my father's birthday, I know that the fact that it's being worked on is already honoring him.
Yes. And that's one thing that I was going to tell you, I was going to ask you was the motivation why you wanted to really get this book out.
Right. And it was yes. your dad, yes. right? He is, my parents had me at a little bit older age. My dad is going to turn 81 November 14th. And I wanted to celebrate his birthday by giving him a copy of my book, which will be dedicated to him and my mother, the way they treated that moment. And unfortunately, in person, I won't be able to give them the book, but I will tell him on his birthday that this is a book that I am legitimately working on.
No, and you can, just an idea, you can do something special because you kind of somewhat already have like a right. book cover, almost. You have the character and all of that. You can get that printed, either FedEx or Vistaprint on a nice like cardstock and just tell, like that could be like his gift. Like,
you I'm see, working this on is, this is you, why we you need know? You in our life. See, I didn't think of that. Yeah. Yeah.
You can put it in a nice like bag with balloons, just like he did with you, and give him the gift back and say it's a work in progress. Oh, it's coming yes. soon.
That will be lovely. Oh, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. Yeah, girl. Well, I want to say, I know that you have a baby coming, so I'm going to continue to be here because we want to make sure that we get your book done. Once you become a mommy, it becomes even more busy. Life gets busy. So I want to continue to, you know, continue on with your book, and I cannot wait Thank until you launch it. When do you think that you will have it launched? So our listeners that might be interested in purchasing it can stay on the lookout.
You know, I want to say that by next year, around exact this time, the book will be published. So the goal of getting it done for this birthday will be the same goal, but for next birthday. Yes.
That's perfect. Yes. I love it. Awesome. So if our listeners are interested in connecting with you, whether it be maybe they want tennis lessons, maybe they're mm-hmm. Miami want tennis lessons, maybe they want to become realtors, or they're looking for a house, or they just want to connect with you about the book and maybe have you on a podcast, etc. How can
you reach me on my Instagram, which is Mississippi. It is MISSESTSIPPY. So it's, when you hear it, you will think of Mississippi, the place, but it's really with a T before the S. And once you find me on there, there is a tab for my email, there is my DM, there's even my phone number. If I don't answer, send me a text message. But there is ways of reaching out to me. Also, my real estate company website is on my Instagram as well. So there are plenty of ways to reach me once you find my Instagram. And if for whatever reason you cannot find my Instagram, you can always go on Facebook and just type my name, Tippi Waterman, and you will be able to find me on there as well.
I love it. Well, girl, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I truly, truly appreciate you. I'm so excited for our listeners to hear about you, your story, and your book.
Thank you, Janine. And again, I know this is your podcast. I just want to say it like 100 times if I could, 300 times, 365 times per day. For anyone who has the mustard seed of a dream to become an author, it's possible. You have someone like Janine who can walk you through stage 1 through stage 10, and she will even be there for all the other stages. So don't think it's impossible. It is possible. This is why God gave her this talent, to help people like us who think it's impossible. She will help us make this dream a reality. And I am so thankful and grateful for everything that you're doing for me and for other people, and especially for yourself, because your son gets to see what type of mother you are.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate
it. So thank you again for having me.
Thank you, girl. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me on the Janine Hernandez Experience podcast. As you guys do each time, please make sure that you like, you subscribe, you comment, you leave a review, you share with your friends, do all of that amazing stuff that you do. And we will see you on the next episode. Bye, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Janine Hernandez Experience podcast. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to our channel, Instagram, and all things social media. We'll see you soon on the next episode.